Praise the Lord. So you see the bulletin. The message for today is Amazing Race. Not to be confused with the message a few weeks ago about Amazing Grace. And as we were changing the sign, Jerry said, boy, if you'd come up with this in a little quicker, we wouldn't have had to change so many letters on the signboard. That is true. You'll have to talk to God about the timing of the message, because this is just what he put on my heart. I want to talk about the amazing race. Hebrews 12, beginning with verse 1, says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For considered him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Let me stop right there. When we talk about the amazing race, I'm talking about our lives. From the time that we're born until the time we die, our whole life is a race. Our whole life is a journey. Our whole life is directed out for us. That God has a plan and purpose for each and everything that comes into life. Now, back in the late 70s, early 80s, there were a couple of race movies, Cannonball Run, Cannonball Run 2, where they were traveling across the United States, racing across the United States. It was a two-hour movie. They didn't show the whole thing. They showed the highlights. Have you ever driven long distances and the road just seems to go on and on and on and nothing happens? You're still making progress. As we go through this life and it seems like absolutely nothing is going on, we're still making progress. We're still doing the things that God has called us to do. So if we only see the highlight reel, it looks like, oh boy, that's an exciting life. But when you're driving 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, 26 hours is the longest I've gone in a single drive. That's an awful long way. And you really don't want excitement in a 26-hour drive, I'm here to tell you. But as we go through this life, things seem to take forever. But God is directing our steps each and every step of the way. Several years ago, in the days when Lance Armstrong was still racing the Tour de France, before people freaked out about the fact that a multiple-time drugs or cancer survivor was taking some medication, you know, and they decided to strip him of his medals. But when he was still racking up medals, we were at Debbie's brother's house, and they're watching the race. Now, they're into the race. I'm like, oh, these people are pedaling bicycles. This is exciting. Oh, no, there's strategy to it. And, you know, they work together as a team. And then they all of a sudden they'll block everybody else so that Lance can come around. Really? There's a strategy to a bicycle race. I believe you. It just doesn't do anything for me. To me, that was boring. We have some people that used to come and help do music here years and years ago. In fact, under the former pastor. And they were really into NASCAR. So they would go rush out of church to get home to turn the race on. Like, have you ever clicked into a NASCAR race, especially if you're not a fan and you're just clipping along? And 250 laps to go in an oval. Okay? The only excitement is when somebody wrecks anything. Have you ever seen the movie Days of Thunder? Okay? They make a whole movie about racing. And they only show the exciting clips. They don't show lap after lap after lap. Indianapolis 500, same thing. A marathon. The picture on the front of the bulletin is at the start of a marathon. We're going to go out and run 26 miles. Obviously, I don't run. Okay, so there's that. But, you know, what's the excitement? The excitement is you're pushing yourself to a goal. And we can think about that for a 26-mile race or a 250-lap NASCAR race or the Tour de France or the Indy 500 or whatever it is, or even the Cannonball Run racing across the country. It's only going to take a couple of weeks. Our lives take all of it. Every last minute of every last day of our lives is part of our race. And a lot of it will seem pretty boring. I get up, I go to work, I come home, I have dinner, I go to bed, I get up, I go to work, I come home, I have dinner, I go to bed. You know? Each and every one of us, that's a big portion of our lives, and it's very easy to get lost in the monotony of going through life if we'll allow ourselves to do that. But if we instead recognize that each and every day, this is the day that the Lord has made, we will rejoice. We make a decision to rejoice and be glad in what God is doing today. Because even though I may not understand everything that's going on around me, even though I may not understand how I'm impacting the lives of other people, as I go through this life, I'm interacting with people, God is doing something. God is doing something in me. God is doing something in relationships. God is doing something in interaction. So the amazing race is trusting that as we step out, God is directing our steps. God is at work. And as we walk out, we have an opportunity to share our faith. As we walk out, we have an opportunity to be kind. We have an opportunity to encourage somebody. Doesn't mean we always take that opportunity. Sometimes we take that opportunity as an opportunity to mess somebody up. Guilty. Done it. Been there. Done that. Praise God, He's changing me and I don't do it as often as I used to. But we walk out this life, we walk out this race that's laid before us. And if we look to Jesus and recognize that He is the one that's directing our steps, He is the one that's guiding us, He is our example. If we look to Jesus as we walk through this life, it is so much easier knowing, first off, that we are not the pioneers setting out the first step. Nobody's ever been here before. God has shown us what it's like to walk through this life. He's shown us what it's like to be kind. And we read about Jesus right here. Recognize that when Jesus was 12 years old and they took him to the temple for the first time, and then after going to the temple for the Passover or going to the temple for, I don't remember what the event was, but they were going to the temple. It was one of the times where they had to present themselves to the temple. That the family left, and a day's journey, they realize Jesus isn't with them. And then they turn around, take a day's journey back, and spend another day looking for him before they find him in the temple. And his response was, "Didn't you know I would be about my Father's business?" Jesus knew, at least as early as 12 years old, what his purpose was. Next time we hear about Jesus, he is 30. So he has lived out this life, lived out this race without any fanfare, without, you know, great big, you know, billboards, "Hey, you know, down through the ages, what a wonderful job you did." He has lived out and been obedient, been subject to his parents, walked through this life, this race, without any major events that made the news. 18 years from the time we last hear about him. And then for the 3.5 years of his ministry, 3.5 years of his ministry is written down in, I mean, it's quite a few pages, but it's not that many pages. It's not enough to write down every event. In fact, John tells us that. John tells us in the book of John that Jesus did so many more things that if they were all to be written down, there is not enough books in the world to contain everything Jesus did. That's just in the 3.5 years of ministry. So there's things going on that we don't understand. There's things going on that we don't see. But we run this race knowing that God has a purpose for each and every one of us. This amazing race is the life that God has laid out in front of us. And for each one of us, it's different. We're going to meet different people. We're going to interact with different people. We are gifted in different ways. Our heart is, you know, different things will touch our heart. We don't always have the sympathy for the same things. We aren't always able to connect with the same people. But God has made each and every one of us unique for His plan and purpose. So we have a race laid out before us that we are called to run this race. We are called to pay attention to what God is doing and look to Jesus and keep going no matter what's going on. 1 Corinthians 9. beginning with verse 24, says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for a prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, and thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Paul says, I'm purposeful about the things that I do. I'm purposeful about how I live my life. We can look at the couple of places where Paul recounts some of those things that occurred to him. You know, a day and a night I spent in the deep. You know, the times he was beaten with rods, stoned, twice let down in a basket out of the window. You know, the highlight reel. Or how about all those years he spent in prison, in Rome, waiting. All those times he spent walking on the road, just going from one place to another. Day after day, plodding. When he first had the vision, Jesus spoke to him, the bright light knocked him off his horse and blinded him, and he was going into Damascus. After that, he went, and for 2.5 years, he studied. 2.5 years, he spent time learning. He was a Pharisee his whole life, right? He knew the scriptures, but now he was looking at the scriptures in a different light with a different revelation. 2.5 years between the time that God told him what great things he would suffer for his namesake and the time where Paul actually went out and began preaching. Time, day after day. Seems nothing's going on. Day after day, sometimes in our lives, it seems like absolutely nothing has happened. But God has laid out a race before us. And each and every one of us have a different race. But Paul talks about here, I'm focused on what I do. I run thus, not with uncertainty. I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. He said, the walk that God has laid out for me is important. And it's become a priority and a focus in my life to do what God has called me to do. Do we run our lives on purpose? Do we go out this race that God has given us with a goal of doing God's will? With a goal of showing God's grace? With a goal of understanding what God wants to do in our lives? Do we seek His face regularly? Do we call out to Him? Do we draw close? Or do we just, 8 hours driving, 55 miles an hour, traffic's light, nothing going on, driving through Kansas, maybe West Texas, some of those places where it's flat and there's nothing. Kansas, wheat fields. What'd you see? Wheat. Lots and lots of wheat. Nice flat landscape, driving as though nothing, and it seems like nothing's happening. We're making absolutely no progress. But we are making progress.
Or the Erie Canal.
Or the Erie Canal in a boat. Deb did that years and years ago. And you got all excited when you saw a turn coming up because you were pretty sure right around the turn you were going to see a city or some sort of civilization. And you get to the turn and then you have another stretch where it goes miles and miles and miles with absolutely nothing. The houses are behind the trees, over the bank, hidden from view so that you don't get to see them if you're on the water. You're just going and going and going. And every once in a while you get to the locks. And travel a little bit more. Going through this life, sometimes it seems like absolutely nothing is happening, but God is at work. God is directing our steps. God is working in our circumstances. God is showing Himself faithful in little things and in big things. So this amazing race, this life that God has given us, we should walk it out on purpose. Knowing that we're not just looking for the big, exciting, flashy things where we made the headlines. We're knowing that each and every day we're being faithful. Jesus said, those who are faithful in little things will also be faithful in big things. How many of us just want to be faithful in the big things, but this stuff here is just wasting my time. Guilty. Each and every one of us. We have challenges in front of us. Are we kind just because it's an opportunity to be kind? Are we nice to people just because? Or as we talked Wednesday night, we were talking in the Bible study. One of the things I've noticed in myself is I do things, for instance, I'm a host 3 days a week at the resort, at the RV park. And the host goes around, guides people to their spot, delivers stuff from the store, that sort of thing. You know, nothing major, nothing fancy. As I drive by, the girl, different people, but girl, she's a little older than I am, or the one that's on Monday is 20 years older than I am, sitting out there in the sunshine all day long. I said, if I can drive by and get myself a bottle of water out of the fridge, wouldn't it be great just to take her one too? So I'll do that. I'll grab a couple of bottles so I can take her one. And to me, it's a small thing. It just seems like the wise thing to do. But when I find out that I'm the only one who does it, I'm like, what? And I find myself judging other people because they're not doing what seems like guilty. I mean, we talked about this Wednesday night. But you weren't all here Wednesday night, so you didn't all hear this. You know? But as we go through this life, we have challenges and we have opportunities each and every day. This amazing race that God has given us, this race that's individual for each and every one of us. He has a different plan and a different purpose in mind. Matthew 24, beginning with verse 3. Now, as Jesus said on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ.'" Slight side note right here. Okay? I always read that and said, always read that as, "I'm Jesus." And we've had people show up and say that they're Jesus. Not here specifically, but people have come on the scene and claimed to be the second coming of Jesus. Since they didn't split the sky and bringing 10,000 angels, I'm pretty sure they were lying. But what I come to understand is the word is the anointed one. The word is translated Christ is the anointed one. So this person says, "I'm the one that's anointed to take over." Like I said, it was a side note. Think about that. As you're doing your study, think about that. "Many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. But you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famine and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Then will many be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." We were talking in prayer time about the things we're seeing on the news and the turmoil in our nation and the rioting and all of these things that are going on and the deceit of many and how frustrating and how annoying and how just, you know, we look for the coming of our Lord because this world is an absolute mess. But Jesus told us way back here in Matthew that these kind of things are going to happen, that it's going to be getting worse and worse and worse and worse. But he goes on and says, verse 13, "He who endures to the end shall be saved." You know what that means? That means keep running the race that God has given you no matter what's going on around you. You are called for a purpose. You are called to be here right now. If God wanted us here in the 1700s or in the 2400s, then that's where He would have put us. Because if He knit us together in our mother's womb and knows everything about us and uniquely gifted us and created us and is guiding our steps and is working in our lives, don't you think He could figure out when to put us in there? When to put us here? Because the Scripture says, in the fullness of time, Christ came. There was a testimony of, or a prophecy of Jesus in the garden. You know, the Garden of Eden. There's prophecies of Jesus all through history. And then Jesus came. It says, in the fullness of time, He came. So if God is at work and sees the end from the beginning, is at work in each and every situation, we're not here out of time. We're here right where God wants us. And if we're here right where God wants us, that means He has a plan and purpose for us right here. That means the people we interact with are people we are supposed to interact with. That means that as we walk through this life, we have an opportunity to show the love of God to people that God is trying to reach. As we walk through go about our business, even when it seems like there's nothing going on, we're running this race and it's like a 26-mile marathon and you're, I don't know. Again, obviously I don't run, but you know, we reached the halfway point and now we find out we have just as far as we've already come to go. But now I'm tired. I've got this much more to do, but I've lost my strength. I need God. Newsflash, we needed God at the very beginning too. We just might not have realized it at the time. But we keep going. We keep doing and not giving up on the path that God has given us. Continue to run that out. Continue to work that out. Knowing that it's as we go through what God is bringing into our lives, as we go through what God is using in our lives to mold us and to make us and to shape us and to help us, that God has a plan and purpose even for that. The heartache that we go through maybe gives us compassion for somebody going through heartache. The difficulties that we go through maybe makes us a little more compassionate to people. The fact that we've gone through it can give people hope that if God was willing to bring me through, He'll bring you through. If God was willing to take somebody as messed up as I was, maybe that person that's, you know, been an annoyance to you, or you're thinking maybe God can't touch them. Believe me, God can change anybody's life. Two doors over from us in the campground, there is a couple, and I've invited them to church, and one of them says, "Oh no, I'm pretty sure God doesn't want me in church." Like, you know, if God can change me, He can change you too. You're welcome. Will she show up? I don't know. But the invitation's there. Because I know God can touch and change people's lives. It would mean a radical change of her life if God got a hold of her. But it made a radical change in my life when God got a hold of me. So what's it going to take? What are we willing to believe? That God can touch and change anybody's heart? Do we realize that God has brought us through here? God has got us in this race for specific plans and purposes. He has gifted us just the way He wanted to. Just the way He foresaw that we needed to be. Because He has a plan. He has a purpose. He has something in mind. And one day, and I have this circled in my Bible, one day I will know even as also I am known. One day I'm going to have answers to why did we go that route? Well, part of it was your stupidity and stubbornness, and part of it was because there were things you needed to learn. Praise God. But He hasn't given up on me. When I was running from God, He hadn't given up on me. He was trying to get my attention. That's why I've been electrocuted twice. That's why I've been shot in the head with an arrow. That's why I've been stabbed. You know? He's trying to get my attention. Yoo-hoo! But He never gave up on me. God is still at work. Luke 18, beginning with verse 1. Then Jesus spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. You know what the parable is. But I always like that introduction. See, most of the parables, they don't say what the parable is. This is one of those, pay attention, this is very, very important. Men ought always to pray and not lose heart, not to give up. Saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Do we really trust that God is guiding us? Do we really trust as we go on this amazing race, this life that he's laid before us, do we really trust that God is guiding us through it? I am in the market for a truck. Actually, I have a want for a truck that will pull our camper. I don't have a need for a truck. So I have a strict budget. I have some kind of broad but specific requirements that it needs to be in this parameters. It needs to fit these parameters. It needs to be this price out the door, this kind of stuff. It needs to have this type of engine, all of this stuff. So we trust that God is going to direct our steps. We trust that God is going to guide us. So last night, I saw what looked like the perfect truck. Absolute perfect truck. So I'm contacting the person and trying to make that arrangement. Deb's over there praying, God, if this isn't it, shut it down. And this person's not, I mean, partly getting back to me, but not having a full conversation. And I happen to go back in and I'm looking at the ad again. And it looks just right, but there's some pictures. I can't really see good on the pictures of the truck. They're kind of small. So I go and I open my laptop and I download the picture and I start blowing it up and blowing it up and blowing it up and blowing it up. And finally it gets big enough that I can see that this truck has the wrong engine for what I need. I was all ready to hit the bank Monday morning and drive to Massachusetts after leaving work Monday night to pick up this truck Tuesday morning. Trying to get that all arranged. And come to sign. The guy says, well, you should have known. Sorry, I only read the ad, you know. But Deb and I were talking about it later. Praise God. God directs our steps. God protects us from ourselves sometimes. Praise God that he's continually at work, continually directing us. Do we trust him? And if we trust him, do we go through this life doing our very best to do what God would have us to do? Do we go through saying, Lord, direct my steps? It says in James that we shouldn't say, or it talks woe to those people who say that on such and such a date we're going to go to such and such city and live there for a year and buy and sell and make gain, you know, make a profit and then come back. And the scripture says what you should have said was, if the Lord wills, we will do these things. Do we trust that God will, do we ask God to direct our steps? God says he's going to. Are we purposeful about seeking the Lord? Are we purposeful about having him guide us? Because this amazing race that we're on, which however long it takes, however many years, however many days we have, says in the Psalms that all of our days are numbered, that God has them all in the book. Says in one of the minor prophets, I don't remember which one, that every time we think upon the name of the Lord, he writes it in the book. That he's paying attention to when we're even thinking about it. So if God is paying that close attention to the things that happen in our lives, Jesus says for every idle word we give, we'll give an account. God is paying attention in our lives. Are we trusting him to guide us through it? Are we trusting him to lead us on? Final passage of scripture, 2 Corinthians 4, beginning with verse 16. Says, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. God is directing our steps. If we put our focus on him, if we put our focus on seeking his face, if we put our focus on seeking his guidance, that the things that just the mundane things going on around us, or even the things that are seem to be a panic mode when we encounter them, or a turmoil when we encounter them, they're temporary. God has us here for a purpose. Rather than getting off in the weeds, rather than getting off in the detour on this journey, on this life that He's laid out before us, let's seek His face and keep going forward. Knowing that if we endure to the end, those that endure to the end will be saved, as it said back in Matthew 24. That God is continuing to direct our steps. He's continuing to lead us and guide us. And He's called us to seek His face. He's called us to walk in His ways. And each and every one of us has a very specific, very individual race. Paul talked about all racing, and then the only one receives the prize. He said, you run so that you may receive. You run so that you may finish the race. Don't give up on what God is doing. Don't give up on the life that God has laid out before you. You can seek God's face, ask Him to change the direction, ask Him to change the circumstances. He may and He may not. But rely on trusting God in the midst of it. I've talked about this before, how when I was getting ready to retire from my day job, being a computer tech at immigration, we prayed, we said, God, are you going to send somebody else to take over the church and free us up for something else? And in a 2-week period, we had 15 people saying how wonderful it was that we had been faithful right where God has placed us. 2 or 3 people saying one thing might be a coincidence. 15 people saying the exact same word, we've heard from heaven. We are where God wants us, and until He makes it absolutely just as plain, we're not going anywhere. This is where God has placed us. Are you seeking the face of God, saying, God, where do you want me to be? God, how are you directing me? And trusting that God will lead you. He can be very, very plain in what He's doing. He can be very, very plain with His direction. One of our snowbirds who hasn't made it up this year, Jim, was always saying, my problem is when I come and there's 2 decisions that don't seem to have any, long-term impact. It's just, do I go this direction or do I go this direction? And I pray to the Lord, how do I know I'm hearing the right way? Well, you may not. But if you always say, God, it is my will to follow you. It is my will to do your plan. I want your guidance. Not having heard anything, that my heart is set to follow you. This seems to be an arbitrary choice. It really doesn't matter. I'll go this way unless you have, something else in mind, unless you lay it out plain. And God can perfectly direct our steps. Start going one way and that just falls through. So here we go. Here's the other option. What's God going to do? Do we trust that God's going to direct our steps? Do we trust that God's going to lead us no matter what's going on in our lives? Do we trust that God loves us and cares for us and have us in the palm of His hands no matter what seems to be going on around us? Sometimes we do. Sometimes we don't. Yet we're called to run out this race, to do what God has called us to do, and to walk in His ways no matter what. So run with patience the race that is set before us. So in due season, you will receive a crown. Praise God. Father, we do thank You for Your word. And we do thank You, Lord, that You've laid out an amazing race in front of each and every one of us. Father, that You have laid out circumstances in our lives that and sometimes have been difficult hurdles and sometimes have been what seems to be detours and sometimes have been even a crooked path. Yet You continue to bring us through the rough patches, the hard ways, the mountains, the obstacles, everything else. You continue to bring us through. But we continue to run with patience the race that You set before us. We continue, Lord, to trust You to guide us. We continue, Father, to seek Your face that we might purposefully walk out this path that You've laid out for us. That You might be glorified in our lives, knowing, Father, that You have a plan and a purpose for anything that You allow into our lives. That You continue to guide us, continue to lead us. So, Father, we trust You. We love You. We seek Your face and seek Your guidance. And trust, Lord, that You are the one who directs our steps. You are the one who makes us to stand. You are the one who lifts us up when we fall. So we give glory and praise and thanks for all that You've done, for the path that You've led us on to bring us to this point, and, Father, for the path that is still ahead, for the things that You have in mind. So, Lord, we give glory and praise and thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.